Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast where we like to talk about art up north. My name is Alice.
And I'm Amy.
And something we like to do here on Hey Art, What's Good is to kind of check in with each other, see what's good with us. So Amy, sister dearest, what is good with you?
Well, sister dearest, I'm happy because this week I started my big girl job.
Ooh.
I'm out of the freelance life. No more working at home anymore. No more sitting in cafes doing work. I now have an office job.
Yay!
And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, nice. It's just something nice about... I know it's like people write songs about it, complain about working 9 to 5, but it's nice working 9 to 5 because, you know, that's the only time you'll ever have to be in work. And as soon as you leave at 5, you're done.
That's it, done. Don't have any homework to do or anything.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I mean, that's what I liked from going from like a bar job where I was working all hours at random days to like a sit-down job where I could just sit down and do my work.
Quite nice working in an office. I think I always wanted to do office work more than like freelance work because it's just not stable.
It's not. Oh yeah, the stability is also nice. I guess if we're talking about what's good, stability.
This is such an adult conversation. My God. Anyway, Alice, what's good with you?
Well, what's good with me is, if we recall, a few weeks ago, I said like me looking forward to thing was going on a sister trip with my sister. And my good thing is that we did that.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Amy recently went to Edinburgh, and it was delightful.
It was fantastic.
It was a very rushed, busy day, but we did a lot of stuff and met us with some friends, so it was lovely.
We had a grand old time.
And that kind of leads us into what this episode's all about, which, as I'm sure you would have seen from the title of it, is another field trip, because I went to Edinburgh, and that's far enough away that I'm going to call it a field trip.
Yes.
Technically a different country.
If you went on a school trip, it would definitely be called a field trip. So,
well,
if you were in America,
that's all the definition I need. There, so let's continue.
Qualified.
So we went to a couple places, but we want to talk about this main one because it's contemporary art, and that's kind of what we talk about here mainly because there's like a whole bunch of it. So we went to the Scottish Gallery of Modern Art, which is like a big old fancy building, isn't it?
Well, it's two buildings.
There's literally, it's called Modern One and Modern Two.
Very contemporary. We only went to Modern One.
We did, because apparently Modern Two, they're like doing stuff for the upcoming exhibitions. So
something like that.
Also, we didn't have time to do two, even if I really wanted to. But Modern One, I did I was going to say, I did a Google. I didn't. I just looked on the front page of the website to see what it was. Apparently, it was a school or like an institute for fatherless children.
Oh.
So that's kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
And it's like proper old Victorian looking, like they've got the columns and that on the outside. It's vaguely Greeky looking, but you know, just fancy rich people kind of.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And in the front, it's not a front garden. To call it a front garden though seems to kind of like undersell it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I would say it's kind of like an exhibition in itself.
Yes, I would agree with that. It's mint. Basically, it's like a big field, it would have been.
as the professionals call it.
Yes. It's like landscaped, purposefully built like hills and like water features. And I think there are some like actual sculptures out there, like Barbara Hepworth ones. It's an art piece by like a landscape artist called Charles Jenks. It's got a J and it's got like a C and a K together at the end, so I'm like, could be European-y.
Sounds European.
It's called Landform Ueda, which is just, it's so cool. It's like, you know when you see things where it like man-made hills and stuff like that, because they're all just like so perfect and like curvy and slopey and all the little cool ways. It's that. And it literally just like earlier today when I was making notes for this episode, I was like, oh, it kind of reminded us of Northumberlandia, which is a really cool kind of art piece landscape thing up in Northumberland. It's made out of like, which I learned today as well, 1.5 million tons of like earth from a nearby quarry.
Oh yeah, you can see the quarry from it. I didn't know that it was made from that.
So I was like, ooh, I'll Google who that artist is so we can compare them. It's the same one, which makes sense. It's Carl's Jenk or Yanks, whatever. But just nice.
Nice.
Just cool. A cool way to like step into a gallery is to just kind of walk past some lush, cool art on your way in.
Oh yeah.
So that's nice. So we went for a specific reason, didn't we, Amy? What did we go see?
Oh, we went to see Beyond Realism, the Surrealist art exhibition.
Ooh.
And it was fantastic. Surrealist art is probably my favorite kind of art because it's mental.
It's a good reason to like something.
It's just mad and it's great and it's fun. I love it. And this is all that.
This is all that. Mad, weird, and fun. Well, apparently Surrealism started in like the
20s. Like, yeah, as 1924.
Oh, well. With André Breton, who was like some French poet, I think, who he defined it in his Manifesto of Surrealism as a pure psychic automatism by which it is intended to express either verbally or in writing the true functioning of thought, which I like, because to say, oh, it's the true functioning of thought, and then to look at what that has produced since.
Yeah.
It's like just everything. Well, it's surreal.
It's very surreal.
It's like, yeah, kind of uncanny in a lot of senses, depending on what kind of stuff you're looking at, because everything's recognizable, but you're like, these things shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
And so it's all bizarre. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to have a bit of a chat about that. Something, I don't think you went to go see this, at the Hatton Gallery sometime last year. I think it was last year anyways. Jeez, when was it? Pretty sure it was last year. They had a cool surrealism exhibition called Exploding Collage.
Oh, I've heard you guys talk about this, but no, I have not visited.
Oh, it was so cool. So cool. Like, I literally went to go see it like 5 times.
Oh, wow.
So that's...
Super fan.
Honestly.
What are you?
what am I like?
What are you like?
So, like, this reminds me of that, like, quite a lot. But one thing I really loved about the Hatton one was that it had a specific focus on, like, female artists.
Mm.
And this one, there's a couple. But as we discussed, I think at some point, I was like, it was the early 19th century. No, 18th, 20th century.
Got there in the end.
I know how time works. So lots of dudes, but cool, as we said, cool art.
Yes, very cool art.
So we don't have Rosie to do Curation Corner. And this is a task I don't want to undertake. So instead, we'll just jump straight into the bits that we liked.
Yeah.
So do you want to start off, Amy?
Ooh. I'm going to start off with a classic that everyone will probably know of because it's one of the most famous pieces of surrealist art. And I couldn't believe that they had it in this gallery. It's the Salvador Dali lobster phone from 1938. And it was just like there in the middle of the room. Just amongst everything else. And I feel like it's one of those like highly revered pieces that everyone like talks about and knows about. Like it's up there with like the melting clocks that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So that really caught my eye. And apparently it was exhibited. It's an early version that he exhibited that everyone knows about with a real lobster.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was with his friend in London and they both decided to make a bunch of real ones that work, like functioning phones.
Oh.
Like they wanted to make like a cradle that would fit an actual lobster. So they made these like, I think they're just working phones. I think they're probably just plastic then if they're phones.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he made 7 white ones and 4 red. So this is one of the 7. It's plaster. Got it written down there.
Oh, what you like, making notes.
I know. But it was really good. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. That caught my eye straight away.
It is quite eye-catching. Not going to lie, though, had never seen or heard of lobster phones before.
Oh, my God.
I like Dali. I just don't know. I know the clocks.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen, like, photographs of him by, like the Horst P. Horst did a really good portrait of him back in, like, the 40s or whatever.
Mm.
But not too much. I haven't seen too much of Dali's work.
No. Well, I mean, it's one of his most famous pieces. But that really caught my eye. And I think that one is kind of, like, a more physical embodiment of surrealism because it's not just a painting or a portrait or anything. It's an actual physical thing that you could touch and also pick up and use if you wanted to.
That's a thing to talk about, perhaps. A lot of the surrealist stuff, it was like there was some display cabinets with like Breton's Manifesto for Surrealism. And obviously when that started, he was like, oh yeah, in like literature or poetry or whatever. So I guess like books were a physical object like that. It's like paper, and then most of the works in this were paintings, and I'm pretty sure there might have been one other sculpture.
I think there was, but I can't remember what it was.
But yeah, that's interesting. You don't see many surrealist sculptures.
You don't.
Like in the Hatton one, I think there was like some physical pieces, like clothes and like a big cool rug thingy.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Interesting. I'm gonna have to look into surrealist sculptures because I feel like you can get some real wacky shit in there.
Definitely. Definitely. What about you? Which one caught your eye?
Ooh, well, there was a few. I feel as though I should kind of have a subtitle for this that just talks a lot about the Hatton episode we did, because the reason that this one caught my eye was because I've seen some of her pieces at the Exploding Collage exhibition. It was called Aftermath by Marian Adnams.
Oh, yeah.
And in this, as she was in the Exploding Collage, just kind of like recognized as being like pretty much like underrecognized. Like she kind of flew under the radar when it came to being recognized as a surrealist painter, like back in the day. But her stuff's just cool. It's like, it's the sort of like dreamlike weird stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like not overtly like super duper crazy like some of the other stuff. But like in this one, it's kind of like a, I want to say pier. It's not really a pier, but it's like some kind of like promenade in front of a seaside.
Mm.
It's got like a nice little like gazebo thing at the bottom that looks really nice. But then in the foreground, there's just this like disproportionately huge animal skull of some kind with a really pretty bow on top.
Ooh.
So you're kind of like, oh, that's weird. And then at the bottom, kind of where the sea would meet this wall, is just a ton of barbed wire.
Oh.
So I really like that, because it's kind of like, I feel it's one of those things where like from a distance it looks like kind of normal, like a normal nice like seaside scene, like all the colors are lovely. It would have been a nice day if it was a real painting, like, yeah, not a real painting, like a real life thingy in a painting. But then it's just like these just random elements where it's kind of like, that's not quite right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It's a bit off.
And like the little plaque thingy next to the painting kind of said that it kind of makes you think of the war a bit, because like there was like that kind of time. I think it was the...
It was all around like the 20s and 30s, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, this one was from 1946. So in theory, it could be just after the war.
Could be.
But then apparently, like, barbed wire and skulls and stuff, like, just a common motif in That's surrealism. True. Which, skulls, definitely. Love a good skull. I feel as though that could maybe have, like, roots in, you know, the kind of traditional still life.
Oh, yeah.
Get a skull in there, get some fruit.
Yeah, definitely.
But I quite like this one, because it's just a bit odd, but in a very, like, aesthetically pleasing way.
Yeah.
And I nice. Like that. Love them aesthetics. Love them pastel tones. We'll have a picture of it on Instagram so you can have a see.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also liked... I'm going so classic here, but there was a... They had a Pablo Picasso.
Ooh, what you like? Original. Dali and Picasso.
I know, right? Okay. But no, this one I'd never seen before. It's called A Portrait of Lee Miller. And Lee Miller was an American photographer. And she moved to France with her future husband, Roland Penrose.
That's a cool name.
It's a very
he
cool name.
He poshes out, doesn't he?
He really does. In 1937. And then when she was there, she met Picasso. And he painted this incredibly abstract Picasso-like portrait of her.
It's one of those ones where like, if you saw it across the room, it's like, that's Picasso, I bet.
Oh, yeah. You could recognize it from a mile away.
Lots of angles and bright colors.
So many triangles. He just loved a triangle.
What's he like?
But I just thought it was really interesting because... I mean, first of all, it was like a woman photographer in the time who was like, she had a really prolific career. Like she was a photographer for British Vogue, and then she became like an official American war correspondent.
I'm pretty sure she was the only American female photographer like on the, like in the front lines of the, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, apparently she was the first photographer ever to enter the Dachau concentration camp.
Oh yeah, is it when it was liberated?
She covered the liberation of Paris. Well, it would have been when it was Dachau was liberated as well.
Mm, yeah. Nice. Well, I recognise the name. I think I was saying we're actually in the gallery. I remember seeing this photo because second year in uni, I had to just like give a short presentation on an iconic photo. So I did what any student would do, is Google iconic photographs. And on like one of the many, many Google pages I kind of went through, this was one of them. And it's a self-portrait, really, I guess, of Lee Miller in a bathtub, and kind of like the painting I was describing from a distance, like, oh, it's just a photo of a lady in a bath. But then you kind of see, is that a portrait of Hitler on the wall and all those like army boots? And it was I think it was in Hitler's bathtub. I don't know if it was in his apartment in Berlin. I think it was an apartment in Munich. But basically it was like Hitler just killed himself, and she was like, fuck you, I'm in your bath, and she took a photo. So
wow. Just that's crazy. Also, who, like, I mean, it's Hitler, but who has a picture of themselves in their own bathroom?
I mean, I might be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure it was.
That's pretty twisted. Well, I mean,
he was a bit full of himself.
Low on the list of twisted things that he did. but still, it's on the list.
It's still on the list. It's still there.
Wow. What about you? What else stood out for you?
So one of the other paintings I really, really loved, which is pretty different from the other one I liked, but I can kind of see some similarities with the Picasso one. It's by an artist called Max Ernst, and he was like apparently quite a prolific one because he had tons of paintings in this exhibition. It's apparently a rare and unusually early work. It's from 1919, which I guess would have made him about 28, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, yeah. I think one of the main reasons I like this is because just German expressionism was mentioned in the little plaque thing, and I love expressionism. We should talk about it sometime in the podcast because it's mint. Which, like, I can kind of see a natural progression there because expressionism was all about being quite expressive. That was kind of in, a bit earlier than this, so like 1900s, 1910s, in Germany was all about like being very like overtly expressive, and it was mainly to start off with in theater and stuff. And then I don't know if there was anything like literature wise whereas like surrealism started in literature and then moved on to all these other art forms, but expressionist cinema, really cool. Metropolis, you saw Metropolis?
Oh, Metropolis is great. If you ever get the chance to watch Metropolis, do it.
It's mint, and you'll notice in a lot of these films just super like expressive faces, because obviously it was in the time of silent movies, so you had to be like ultra like act your heart out. But then like the set design and the costumes and everything like really kind of accentuates the
it's a proper story emotion. As well.
Oh, absolutely. So this painting kind of came from his progression from expressionism into surrealism. And you can kind of see it because it's kind of like lots of angles, lots of reds, and well, lots of like an oranges and yellows, which I don't know, just kind of sticks in my mind for expressionism.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari because the one I've seen of that is like a lot of the film's kind of color toned, kind of like orangey and yellowy and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's called Hat in Hand, Hat on Head, but it's in German, so Hut in der Hand. Hut auf dem Kopf. Kopf is just a fun word for head. It's just a P and F right next to each other. What a concept. But it's just like this man and this lady kind of on a path next to a building. And it's at nighttime and there's a big tree in the foreground. Everything's like wacky, kind of disproportionate sizes. The path that this lady's on actually might be a vase. And so it's called Hat in the Hand, Hat in the Head. And I thought initially that referred to the fact that the lady had her hat on her head and the man is kind of like tipping his hat, like lifting it off his head. But then, like, actually probably looking at it, the man's still got a hat in his head and he's just lifting another hat.
Oh,
so he has
right.
both a hat on his head and a hat in his hand. So it's just a bit silly, really.
Love it.
And I love it, so... just cool. I really liked it. It's like it's a quite a cutesy little one.
Yeah,
like it was just like stacked underneath a slightly larger painting. I was
so
like,
the guy's got a really good little mustache.
Oh, he's got a fantastic. It's like got a side profile, but you can still make it. We'll put it on Instagram because it's just really cute.
It's really cute.
I think overall I like it because it's real cute. Don't really know what it means or like anything like that. Like, but just cute.
Yeah, I like Max Ernst, and I don't know, I mean, I probably had seen some of his stuff before, but never noticed it, but yeah, there was, like you said, there's a lot of his stuff in this exhibition,
mm-hmm.
Which is where my favourite one of the whole lot comes in, which is La Joie de Vivre, or The Joy of Life, and it's like a massive, like it's like a jungle
mm-hmm.
picture, but and from afar, you're like, okay, that's just a big mess of like
vines and stuff. And it makes us think of, what's that Pokemon? Tangela.
Oh, Tangela.
Made us think of Tangela.
It's kind of like that. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Pokemon Tangela.
Oh, you Pokemon fans out there, you'll know what we're talking about. But yeah, so from afar, you're just like, okay, it's like a jungle photo. And then you get closer and there's so much stuff like hidden in it.
I love stuff like that. I think you could Rose honestly, talk about this a lot.
You could sit and just look at it for hours and you could look at it about a million times and probably still keep spotting different things
mm-hmm.
that you hadn't seen before. It was so good. And apparently it was one of a number of jungle pictures that he painted in the late 30s.
Oh.
And they derive from rich romantic heritage in German art.
Okay. That's interesting then that the title's in French.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess Impressionism, not Impressionism at all, Surrealism. So
that's a completely different movement.
Yes, it is. But that kind of began in Paris, it makes sense. Basically this one was, it says that instead of a real jungle, this painting depicts ordinary undergrowth grown to enormous proportions.
Ooh.
Which I still think is like an understatement for what it is. Because there's just so much going on and it's not just undergrowth.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And there's like weird little creatures and stuff, yeah. And like kind of thing. Like
there's eyes and faces through, yeah. It.
Oh, it gets like real creepy in some bits, which is, again, what I love.
Oh yeah, if art can scare me, then that's what I want.
Yeah, if a paint on the wall can freak you out, then awesome.
Love it. Give me it.
But yeah, that one was really nice. I really liked it. And it was like quite sizey, wasn't it? It was quite a big one.
Yeah, it was quite big. It's the kind of thing that I would love on like a mug. Like I'd like a mug with that on.
Okay.
Just to look at it every day.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good reason for it. Yeah. I thought that was going to go a different way, though, because we talked about like how huge it is and how cool it is. I was like, I love it on a little mug.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm sure a gift shop somewhere will sell that. So
I will keep my eyes peeled for that.
We'll keep an eye out.
I will.
But speaking of art that can scare you, after we left this exhibition and we kind of had a bit of a wander around the place, just stumbled on a room of a few Francis Bacon paintings.
Always
and
a good
I think
time.
They are very much paintings that can just creep you out.
Yeah,
I love
there was
them.
There was that one of that woman like screaming and her mouth is like almost as big as her whole face.
Oh yeah, it was freaky. I've got my laptop in here, showing Amy.
Definitely put
again.
A picture on this on Instagram. But it's freaky. Like if you had that in your house and you saw it every day. If you walked in the middle of the night to go and get a glass of water,
oh my god, imagine.
You would shit a brick if you saw that.
But yeah, just a fun little just side note there. Again, Francis Bacon, there was an exhibition about him and Ellen Gallagher at the Hatton.
We're really not paid by the Hatton to be saying this.
I just love that place, man.
This is not an ad, but and also these exhibitions are gone now, right?
Oh yeah, long gone.
Yeah.
Well, that one ended in May. May was such a long month. Me and my boss are talking about this today. They were talking about a job we did back in April and I was like, wow, that seems like so long ago, and he just went, yeah, it's because May was so long. Like May was so long. Yeah. Was that one of those months where it's had technically like 5 weeks in it? I feel as though it was
probably,
yeah. So yeah, it kind of was, yeah. Just
in the media, yeah, and then comparatively June has gone by so fast. I could like,
oh my god, I know, when I'm at the end of June now, what the hell.
Yeah, they sent a message about something happening on the 21st and that's tomorrow, and in my mind I'm like, oh, that's next week.
No,
hang on, that's tomorrow, okay.
it's quite soon actually.
Yeah, crazy.
But yeah, so back to the exhibition. I mean, this isn't a Hey Art, What's Good episode if we don't have a bit of a tangent, really.
That's true. A bit of a tangella. Oh, call back.
To about 2 minutes ago, maybe.
Can you remember? We do.
But yeah, this was just a really nice exhibition. And like, luckily enough, it opened like literally the day we got there. Like on the...
Oh, yeah.
What was the date? Was it the 14th?
Yes.
Yes, the 15th. What day is it today is my question.
It's the 20th today.
So it was the 15th of June this opened on a Saturday. And we're literally, because we hadn't actually planned anything to do on this trip or anywhere to go, it was like, oh, on the train. I was like, right, let's see what's actually on places. And then,
you didn't even find out this place until we were like having breakfast somewhere.
Oh yeah, so that, because I was gonna Google it on the train, but the cross-company Wi-Fi was terrible, so I couldn't. So yes, we went for breakfast. We had French toast. It was lush.
Oh yeah.
Cannot remember what that place was called though.
City Tavern.
Tavern. Really? Oh, okay.
Oh, was it? No,
I don't
think
it was.
City Cafe.
The City Tavern's in Newcastle.
That's what I'm getting mixed up.
And it's a bar.
Yes. I got mixed up.
It was just a fun field trip. It was nice. I've seen something that we usually wouldn't see because I don't know. I mean, you haven't seen a surrealist exhibition, I don't think.
I don't think I have. Well, apart from we went to the Magritte Museum in Helsinki.
Oh my god, yeah, there was a few Magrittes here. I kind of recognized, so there's a Magritte painting where it's like this absolutely massive stone chair with a much smaller wooden chair on it. I feel as though I saw
it was, and I don't know if this is the original or if it was like a one of many that he might have done. So either we've seen that before but in Finland back in
February,
or it's a different one, which I really like the idea that it's the same one.
Yeah, because like
traveling with us,
art travels about. It does that.
Yeah,
we attract surrealist paintings.
Exactly.
What of it?
Yeah, no, Magritte is a good one, but we didn't have anything to say about them this time. We should have definitely talked about the exhibition we went to in Finland.
We did. Well, I'd say maybe another day. Yeah, we won't. But we simply won't because it was too long ago now.
But it was good. Go to Finland, just generally.
So that's the takeaway from this episode.
Go to Finland and Manhattan. Yeah. This is not subliminal.
Oh, dear. But yeah, it was pretty sick. I mean, this exhibition, if you happen to find yourself in Edinburgh, it's free. It's a nice little journey. Oh, we had the nicest walk to get to this gallery. So, I mean, we've got the ScotRail. It's not a metro and it's not a tram, but it's like, it seems like not
it's
quite
actual train.
Well, either way, we've got the train to Haymarket. Haymarket, lovely area of Edinburgh.
So good.
But we had just a lovely walk through this like nature park sort of thing. It was called like The Waters of Leith, I think. The Waters of Leith.
Yes, I think it was.
Walkway or something like that. Something it was like just basically that. Walk along this little river with there's tons of grass. There was like American people having picnics for whatever reason. So there was quite a few of them. But it was such a nice way to walk to an art gallery. It was through all this nature. It was delightful.
Right in the middle of the city as well.
Like, oh, yeah.
Can't go wrong. But at this gallery, there's one thing I want to talk about that I forgot about.
Okay, good.
And we both loved it. So it was by an artist called Douglas Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible. It's just called List of Names. And what he's done, when you walk up the stairs to get to the Surrealist thing.
It's literally, so there's like quite a few flights of stairs.
There's like three flights of stairs. As you're walking up it, on the wall alongside it, it's just an incredibly long list of names. This art piece, and he updates it occasionally. It's just a list of every person he can remember ever meeting. How incredible is that?
And as of 2014, it was up to like 4,000 and
as something? As of 2014, there was 4,710 names.
That's crazy.
That's
mad. Kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't think I've met 4,000 people. But
no,
like,
but you probably
I might
have. Like, these must be people, like, some of these will just be people that he's met in passing. He's maybe met at work. He's met whatever. Like, that's a lot of people.
But they are all first name, last name. So he's
first and last name.
He's met them enough to learn what the full name is. Or do you think he specifically asks someone what the full name is when he meets them? Because I feel like that would creep me out.
No, that would creep me out. But also, like, some artists are, like, really, like, about their craft. And you just be I don't care if I'm freaking people out. This is for art, you know?
He's for art.
It's about the hustle.
Well, it is about the hustle. That's true.
It just really impressed me. I thought that was an amazing art piece.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Ooh, and also on the way out, we said we were going to like write down a list of things to talk about in the order that we're going to talk about them. We didn't do that,
no.
As I'm sure shines through. But on the way out, we're just kind of waiting in the corridor for our friends, like on the ground floor. And this corridor was just filled with artworks from like classes of kids from different like primary schools and stuff in Scotland, the Edinburgh area.
Yeah, I think it was just in Scotland.
Just in Scotland, maybe. But it was just so nice. It was like, it wasn't like a competition. Really,
there was a winner.
I take it back, it was a competition.
It was a competition,
but regardless, everyone got the work shown in like one of the biggest contemporary art institutions in Scotland.
How exciting would you
and
be
there
as
was
a child
some good
to, like,
stuff wasn't there
so good like imagine though like as a kid the ego on you that you've gotten into an art gallery at like less than 10 years old. Like, that's so good. And like, you know, encouraging kids to do art and care about art.
Encouraging them to see art, because that's a thing as well. Like, a lot of people, like, we've talked about this before on the podcast, like a part of the reason that we do this is like, if someone can hear about a gallery, hear about the space, hear about the exhibition and stuff, if you'd never been in before, you kind of like have an in, you kind of know something about it. So kind of same sort of dealy. It's like a foot in the door already. Like, you can just go to see your thing or show your mom or your dad or whoever, like, look, I helped make that and it's in this art gallery. And while you're there, you can just maybe look at the room that's next to it. And if you really like that, you can maybe just, like, have a look around the whole place or like put a pin in it and come back another day. So just nice. I really like that. It was a good little initiative.
Yes, love it.
It's delightful. Forgot everything else about what it was. I'm sure it had a name, probably, as an exhibition.
I don't think I took a photo either,
but that's
it was
okay.
Good. Go and see it, then you'll find out.
Yes. It's not that expensive to go to Scotland from here. Like, our return was, what, like £25 or something? It was dead good.
Something like that. And that was just with an open return. Like, you could get like a set train.
Well, it was technically an open return, but I had to come. You had to come back the same day on a specific... It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Are you the train, please? For God's sake.
Oh no, she's found out. But really good trip. and a good reason to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it, but we also went to the portrait gallery, which was mint.
Oh, it's really good.
I think I might write something on the blog for that, because it was one of my favorite photographers was in an exhibition.
Yes.
Diane Arbus. Like, does she did like street photography like in New York and stuff in like the 30s, 40s. And I just love that time for photography because it was just cool. Like, just all those black and white with a little trusty Rolleiflex going about town. Nice. So I'll hopefully try and write something about that. And I've said it on the podcast now, so I kind of have to.
You have to.
Unless Future Alice edits this out and then...
Well, that's very, very non-committal of Future Alice.
We'll find out.
What a lazy cow.
Next week. But yeah, probably kind of wraps this up, do you think? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Don't think so.
Perfect. Well, the way we like to end these podcasts is to kind of talk about something that we're looking forward to doing. It could be an art thing, it could be a life thing, or just a general event that's happening soon, and it's something to shout about. So, Amy, are you looking forward to anything?
Well, on Saturday... I'm going kayaking.
Ooh.
For the second time in my life, because our dad randomly bought a kayak.
He did, yeah.
As you do when you're retired, you know, I suppose he's got a lot of time on his hands now. Buy a kayak, why not?
It's not just any old kayak, it's an inflatable kayak.
It's all in a bag, oars and everything. Great.
The oars as well?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been yet on this kayak.
It's really fun. We went a few weeks back, but we're horribly prepared. Didn't have anything like... All we had was like the flotation device, like aid things.
Mm.
Didn't have any like waterproofs or like proper shoes. So
cool.
Gonna go and get that stuff super early and then go along to Carlisle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
And get on the kayak. So excited for that.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. I wish I was going. I can't. I'm at work that day.
Oh, well, what are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? I had it in my head. And I know what it is now. I've remembered.
Ooh. Build that suspense.
Indeed.
Ooh, edge of my seat.
Well, so this would have happened in the past. However, by the time this episode comes out, it will still be a thing at Workplace Gallery in Gateshead, which is another really cool space. There's like a preview on Friday, which in current recording time is tomorrow. However, in episode time was at least 2 weeks ago. But it's by an artist called Claire Dorset. And I don't really know too much about it, just someone who I think is doing a placement or is doing something at the Workplace Foundation just went, oh, there's this thing happening on Friday, do you want to come along? I'm like, yes, please, we would
free
like to
wine
do
and
that.
Art will be there.
And I haven't been to an exhibition preview in ages. I feel as though the last one I went to was me and Rosie went to see something at Vane, and it was a while ago now because we've just been too busy and Rosie's on like a million year long holiday, so maybe she'll be back, maybe not.
Isn't she only gone for another week?
When you see someone every single day,
fair enough,
it seems like a very long
fair
time.
Fair enough.
But I'm looking forward to that, because me and you are going to go.
Yes, we are.
And me and you don't do art previews, really.
Not a lot. I think the last one I went to was the Bonnie preview. Pineapple Black.
Yes, it was.
That was the last one I went to with you.
Oh, well, was it?
I think so.
It was a preview, because there's people there and there's booze. Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Nice one. Oh, that should be good then. We'll probably put something on Instagram because it's kind of who we are at this point.
Yeah, check the story tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have seen it.
Yeah.
By now. Because
cast your minds back to several weeks ago.
Can you remember a couple of weeks ago when we did that incredible story?
Yes.
Burned in your mind. Everyone remembered it. Talk about it for generations.
Well, I'm sure they will.
Wow.
Well, if you want to catch up on our Instagram, you can find us at HeyArtWhat'sGood, same for Twitter. Got a website, HeyArtWhat'sGood.com. Got an email if you want to get in touch, HeyArtWhat'sGood@gmail.com.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this has been real. Thank you for coming on the podcast again, Amy.
Thanks for having me. It's been
a couple of weeks. It's been more than that.
Definitely more than that.
It's been a couple months. I was like, oh, it's been a few months. I'm like, oh, is that bitchy? Has it actually been that long?
No, absolutely accurate.
Perfect.
It's been a while.
I love being accurate. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, sis.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening, everyone out there.
Thanks, guys.
So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.